The first Bible reading comes from Matthew 10, 1 to 16. He called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out evil spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, who is called Peter, and his brother Andrew, James the son of Zebedee, and his brother John, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the tax collector, James the son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions: do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, preach this message: the kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Do not take along any gold or silver or copper in your belts. Take no bag for the journey, or extra tunic, or sandals, or a staff, for the worker is worthy of his keep. Whatever town or village you enter, search for some worthy person there and stay at his house until you leave. As you enter his home, give it your greeting. If the home is deserving, let your peace rest on it. If it is not, let your peace return to you. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, shake the dust off your feet when you leave that home or town. I tell you the truth, it will be more bearable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that town. I'm sending you out like sheep amongst wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. Our second reading comes from Luke chapter 10, verses 1 to 16. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them out two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. And he told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I am sending you as lambs amongst wolves. Do not take a purse or a bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. When you enter a house, first say, 'Peace on this house.' If a man of peace is there, and your peace will rest on him. If not, it will return to you. Stay in that house, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. When you enter the town and are welcome, eat what is before you, for the sick who are there, and tell them, 'The kingdom of God is near you.' When you enter the town and you are not welcome, go into the street and say, 'Even the dust of this town that sticks to your feet, we wipe it off against you.' Yet be sure of this: the kingdom of God is near. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town. Woe unto you, Chorazin! Woe unto you, Bethsaida! For if the miracles that have been formed in you have been performed in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more bearable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be lifted up to the skies? No, you will go down to the depths. He who listens to me, and he who rejects you rejects me. But he who rejects me rejects him who sent me." Amen for those words.
In today's Bible readings, we have two separate occasions when Jesus sends out disciples ahead of him into towns to prepare the way for him. Matthew, Mark and Luke all record the first occasion when Jesus sends out those who were closest to him, the 12 disciples. But Luke also records a second occasion where Jesus sends out a larger group of 72 disciples into the towns to also prepare the way for Jesus' coming. Mark and Luke record a short version of the story that we find in Matthew about the sending out of the 12. But those two, in their telling the story, pretty much in their short details, share all the same details. Although there seems to be some disagreement between Mark and Luke as to whether Jesus said they could take a staff or not. That's about the only difference. But Mark and Luke do give a brief description of what the disciples do when they go. Mark says that the disciples preach that the people need to repent, and they cast out demons and healed the sick. Luke simply says that they preached the gospel and healed the sick. Although with Luke's larger story of the 72 who were sent out, he gives a more detailed description of what the disciples did and also their excitement over what they were able to do in Jesus' name. And what we have here are two major things that Jesus is achieving. The first is that the disciples were going before Jesus into the towns as ambassadors. They were preparing people for Jesus, giving the people in the towns a taste of Jesus' message as they understood it, and telling people about this wonderful person who was going to bring the kingdom of God. So first of all, they were acting as Jesus' ambassadors. The second is that Jesus was giving them practical experience of what they will need after his death and resurrection. They are going to need to go out into the world to be sent out as apostles after Jesus' death and resurrection. So this is a training mission for the disciples, the 12 first and then the 72, so that they can build up the confidence and the ability to do the ministry which they will be given, and with that guidance of Jesus with them as they go about this. So today we're looking at how Jesus sends us out into the world to make disciples. And here in these two stories, we have some principles which Jesus outlines in respect to taking on this responsibility. So the first two things in regards to sharing the gospel we glean from these teachings is that the role we take on as we go out into the world to make disciples is that we are Christ's ambassadors. And the second is that it is important that we gain experience and develop skills and abilities for the ministry roles Jesus calls us, which includes making disciples. Jesus just doesn't hope that his disciples will know how to do evangelism. He teaches them how to do it. And so through reading this, we can gain an understanding of how we can do evangelism. And just in case you didn't know what the word apostle means, it means one who is. So first he gets his 12 disciples to go out. And then a little later, he sends out 72. At the start of Luke's Bible reading, which is the 72 story, Luke 10 verse 2, he gives them the parable where there is a plentiful harvest, but only a few workers. And therefore, they should ask God to send out workers into the harvest field. But immediately, he follows this by telling them, go! I am sending you. So we are to pray for people to be sent out to proclaim the gospel. But that doesn't mean that we're just praying for someone else to go. It also means that we're praying for God to send us out too. We are to be a part of those few people, one of those few people who are willing to share the gospel with others. Jesus also said this before he sent out the 12 disciples as well. But we didn't hear that. We didn't read that part in our Bible reading. But he does. So this seems to be a common metaphor which Jesus used to explain the importance of praying and going out to proclaim the kingdom of God is near. You find that many of the ideas Jesus shares as he gives these instructions, they're shared between both stories, both instances of Jesus sending out disciples. So those ideas and those instructions are the same as he's preparing to send out his disciples, which means that these are important principles to follow. In Luke 10:3, Jesus immediately explains the reality of the situation. He says this, "I am sending you out as lambs among wolves." Jesus says the same thing in Matthew 10:16, but there he then adds, "I am sending you out as lambs among wolves, so be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves." We are to be those who are willing to be vulnerable. We may have to put ourselves in vulnerable situations and positions in order to proclaim the gospel. This has certainly been true for Christians throughout the ages and still throughout the world today. And we might have to do the same. This is the usual state of affairs. Jesus is telling us that it's not okay to wait for it to be safe to share the gospel before we do so. We are to go even when it is dangerous. But because there are people who are dangerous and who will take advantage of us and who will try to harm Christians as they are spreading the gospel, you also have to be careful and not naive of the risks and dangers. We should use our brains to devise tactics to avoid getting stopped from sharing the gospel, to avoid getting caught when we're sharing the gospel. Jesus tells us that we have his authority. No earthly authority has the right under heaven to instruct us to stop. If an earthly authority instructs us to not preach the kingdom of God, we are to disobey them. In light of such circumstances, we have to be prepared to do anything we can think of to share the gospel, so long as that is not something that is sinful. We must remain as innocent as doves, as we are being as shrewd as snakes. We have to continue to act morally and to live in life with Christ's character. In Matthew 10, so that's the 12, we're talking about the 12 again, Matthew 10, 5-6. As Jesus begins his instructions to the 12, he says, "Do not go among the Gentiles," which is anyone who's not a Jew. "Do not go among the Gentiles or into any towns of the Samaritans. Rather, go to the lost sheep of Israel." This is not a general principle for all time. This isn't said in Luke either. This is an instruction for the 12 for this time. However, there is an important principle to learn. If God has given you a specific calling, don't get distracted and start doing other things which will prevent you from fulfilling your calling. In Luke 10, Jesus makes the same point about not becoming sidetracked when he says, "Do not greet anyone on the road." If you have a specific calling, don't get sidetracked from it. In all of the accounts of Jesus sending out the disciples, they are told to take nothing. They all say this, except the clothes that they are wearing. Here we see the teaching of the lesson that God will provide all that you will need when you're responding to his call, particularly the call to go and share the gospel. Even when we go to strange and foreign places where we know no one, God will provide all our needs. We don't need to take anything. For the disciples, this was time for the disciples to step out in faith and to learn and see and experience how God will provide. But there's actually more than just that to do with this taking nothing. See, the other reason why you're to take nothing is because those you're ministering to and benefiting from the gospel, out of thankful for the message they're receiving from you, they are to provide for your needs. you want to fund your ministry to people. Those benefiting from the ministry are to fund it. Matthew 10:10, take no bag, etc., etc., for the worker is worth his keep. And that way, you can devote your time fully to doing that work. That's why you pay me. Then we get to the instructions about ministering in a town. The instructions are pretty much the same between sending out the 12 and the 72. The disciples do not go alone. Now they go two by two. Human beings are much weaker when alone and isolated. God does not want us to set out in ministry alone. We should always plan to go with others or to have the support of others so that we can strengthen, help, and encourage one another. Two are far more than doubly effective at ministry. When you have others working together in ministry, or when you have people working together in ministry, you multiply the strength of ministry, not just add it together. So always try to set out on a ministry adventure with at least one other person, or with at least some support when you do so. Now, the ministry Jesus gives to the 12 and 72 is to heal the sick and preach the gospel. That's basically what it is, saying the kingdom of God is near. So it's to preach the gospel, to heal the sick, to cast out the demons, and even raise the dead. Imagine getting given that ministry. Hey, disciples, go out. I'm giving you the ministry to raise the dead wherever you go. How awesome would that be? Now, we know that when the 72 come back, they were like, we can't believe what we did. Did you see what we could do in your name? The demons were even submitting to us. And Jesus was like, yes, I know. He's excited. He's just trying to call their excitement a little bit. And he says, just look, be happier that your names are written in heaven. We should be excited about what God will do through us. However, the ministry that he gives to us, however, might not be the same as what he gives to the apostles, the disciples who will become apostles. Their ministry, this was their ministry that Jesus had given to them. And what they found, though, is that God gave them the ability to accomplish that mission that he had given to them. If Jesus has a ministry for you, or for us together to accomplish, likewise God will give us the ability to accomplish it, whatever it is. Even if it was to raise the dead, which would be pretty cool. I must say, I've just never tried. Maybe that's my fault. But step out in faith and have it made known to you that God empowers those he calls. But now it's time for the disciples as they enter that town. And as they enter that town, because of Middle Eastern hospitality, that says that they must welcome a stranger. It was a great offense, something horrible if you did not welcome a stranger. But that doesn't mean that they must like you when they welcome you in. So first of all, don't just go and stay with anyone. Find someone of good reputation. Maybe someone who's a little bit receptive to what you're saying about Jesus. I mean, if you go into a new place, if you were to go to a new place, staying with anyone isn't necessarily the best strategy, because you don't want to be associated with people who have a bad reputation when you bring in the gospel. You don't want to be with people who cause problems for others, even if they invite you in because of cultural customs. Of course, we don't have those cultural customs, but we generally find there. The principle of finding others who are of good character and who are receptive to the gospel remains. And when you stay with them, you bring a greeting of peace, or shalom. Shalom, the Hebrew word Jesus would have used when sending out the disciples, is translated to English as peace. However, shalom is a much richer word than our word peace. One way that I heard it explained, which I think encompasses the whole concept of shalom, is the state where the genuine presence of God is present. The state where the genuine presence of God is present. So when I interact with others, I am to bring shalom. I am to bring into that interaction, into that relationship, the presence of God. And shalom is not a human-derived peace. It is a divinely given peace. It can only be truly present when God is present. So shalom is used as that greeting, to bring the peace of God to that place or situation or into that interaction with that person you're having. You are to bring the peace of God. But it's also that inner peace. That inner peace which God brings within us. So shalom is that peace within us that we might call the peace of God. That peace that passes understanding. It's also the peace that we have with God as He reconciles us to Himself. The presence of God with us. As you enter a house you have been welcomed into, greet them with the peace of God. Now, if that person is a person of good character, then you will enjoy friendly hospitality. But if you find that actually a person is difficult to get along with, the relationship might feel a little bit like sandpaper rubbing together, then... And as long as you know that for your part you've tried to bring the peace of God into that house, don't worry about the fact that it's not going so smoothly. Allow that peace of God to return to you so that you have that inner peace. However, when you go and stay with someone, eat whatever is set before you. This works two ways. If you go and stay with someone who is poor, eat what they eat. Do not be a snob and picky. But if you stay with someone who puts on great feasts for you, don't go, oh, I couldn't possibly. Think of all the starving people who should be fed by this and have a guilty conscience. No. If someone wants to bless you, let them bless you without a guilty conscience. But again, if you go somewhere and you find that there's someone else who's got a place and that would be better, don't be so rude as to throw that original family hospitality in their faces and go and stay with someone who's richer or who's got better food and lodging. Stay there. Stay with that person and be willing to accept not the best conditions. If you're welcomed and your message is accepted, then say, the kingdom of God is near. Heal the sick, meet their needs. And for such a place, the kingdom of God is truly in reach, for when Jesus comes, they will receive him gladly. But if you go somewhere and they will not in any way hear the gospel, don't continue to waste your time trying. The harvest is large, so go find someone or go somewhere else who will listen to the gospel. Shake the sand off your feet as a testimony against them. So let's deal with both those things. First of all, this tells us the message we should bring when we do evangelism. The message is the kingdom of God is near. And then repent and believe. And what a wonderful inviting message we are to start with. The sharing with people how God is near to us and cares for us and wants to help us and wants to be a part of our lives. The kingdom of God is near. No one is excluded. God doesn't want anyone to be excluded. All are welcome. It is near to everyone. This is the message we are to preach when we share with people the gospel. And then, once we've shared the kingdom of God is near, then we can say, repentance. We need to turn from our old ways and look to out the new ways of Jesus. Now, it is no accident that Jesus mentions Sodom and Gomorrah when we come to the shaking of the dust of our feet and what this means. In Sodom and Gomorrah, they rejected the messengers who were the angels, the messengers of God who were sent to them. The angels went to Sodom, but no one but Lot would show hospitality and invite them to their place to stay, to offer them a place to rest, to eat, and to, as we're told, wash their feet. If you see someone, when you You see, when someone welcomed you, they would provide a way for you to wash the dust off your feet. It was a common courtesy in those days. But if you weren't welcomed, like the angels weren't welcomed at Sodom, then the dust would remain on your feet. So to shake off the dust off your feet was a public display of how unwelcoming and inhospitable that place was to you. Now, the angels who visited Solomon were messengers sent there to announce the destruction of that city. Since the people would not receive them and wanted to do evil to them, except, of course, for Lot and his family, they were destroyed. For those who refused the message of the gospel, however, this is much worse. For they are refusing Jesus Christ. And this one has eternal consequences, which is why it will be more bearable for Sodom and Gomorrah than for a town which rejects Jesus. So shake the dust off your feet, because the people of that town refuse to welcome the gospel message. And to refuse the one who brings the gospel is to refuse Jesus, and to refuse Jesus is to reject the Father. But the kingdom of God is still near, wherever the gospel is declared. And in Luke's gospel, we also hear of Tyre and Sidon, which are Gentile towns near Israel. Jesus is saying that if the Gentiles saw the miracles and heard the teachings of Jesus, they would have repented like Nineveh did when Jonah went there. Even though the Gentiles were not expecting the Messiah and had not received the promises of God. So those Gentile towns will have more people being a part of the kingdom of God than some places in Israel, which by and large will reject Jesus, as we know. So, go. Go. The harvest is large. I really want to encourage you in your personal sharing of the gospel. Look for ways to connect people and the good news that the kingdom of God is near. And to let them know that they can enter in. Share the good news that you know about this guy called Jesus. And show people that God cares for them by meeting their needs as you go, just like the disciples did, in the way that God empowers you to do. This is the formula for successful evangelistic ministry. Amen.